Welcome to day 309 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and I'm glad that you've joined me again today as we continue our journey through the New Testament. Today's reading will take us into two different Gospels. The first part will be Matthew chapter 23, and we will hear Jesus talking to the people about not being burdened down by religious requirements that the Pharisees were so ready to load upon the people, and yet how they did not bring men and women closer to God, but instead made them farther from God than ever. And then we will go into the Gospel of Luke, chapters 20 and 21, and we will hear some of Jesus's warnings about what will happen during the end times and how people need to be ready every day for the return of Christ. So beginning at Matthew chapter 23, starting at verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds. For they say things and do not do them. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogue, and respectful greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for the one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, for you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'Whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated.' You fools and blind men, which is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing, and whoever swears by the offering on it, he is obligated. You blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? Therefore, whoever swears by the altar, swears both by the altar and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple, swears both by the temple and by him who dwells within it. And whoever swears by heaven, swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done, without neglecting the others. You blind guides, who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, 'If we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them in shedding the blood of the prophets.' So you testify against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the guilt of your fathers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell? Therefore, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, so that upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Luke chapter 20. On one of the days, while he was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes with the elders confronted him, and they spoke, saying to him, "Tell us, by what authority you are doing these things, or who is the one who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered and said to them, "I will also ask you a question, and you tell me. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men?" They reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it came from. And Jesus said to them, "Nor will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And he began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey for a long time. At the harvest time, he sent a slave to the vine growers so that they would give him some of the produce of the vineyard. But the vine growers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he proceeded to send another slave, and they beat him also and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he proceeded to send a third, and this one also they wounded and cast out. The owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the vine growers saw him, they reasoned with one another, saying, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those vine growers and will give the vineyard to others. When they heard it, they said, "May it never be." But Jesus looked at them and said, "What then is this that is written? 'The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. But on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust.'" The scribes and the chief priests tried to lay hands on him that very hour, and they feared the people, for they understood that he spoke this parable against them. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be righteous in order that they might catch him in some statement, so that they could deliver him to the rule and the authority of the governor. They questioned him, saying, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach correctly, and you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But he detected their trickery and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose likeness and inscription does it have?" They said, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were unable to catch him in a saying in the presence of the people, and being amazed at his answer, they became silent. Now there came to him some of the Sadducees, who say that there is no resurrection, and they questioned him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies having a wife and he's childless, his brother should marry the wife and raise up children to his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died childless. And the second and the third married her, and in the same way all seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, which one's wife will she be? For all seven had married her." Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. For they cannot even die anymore, because they are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the burning bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Some of the scribes answered and said, "Teacher, you have spoken well." For they did not have courage to question him any longer about anything. Then he said to them, "How is it that they say that Christ is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore David calls him Lord, and how is he his son?" And while all the people were listening, he said to the disciples, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance's sake offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." Chapter 21. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they all, out of their surplus, put into the offering, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on." And while some were talking about the temple, that it was adorned with beautiful stones and votive gifts, he said, "As for these things which you are looking at, the days will come in which there will not be left one stone upon another, which will not be torn down." They questioned him, saying, "Teacher, when therefore will these things happen? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See to it that you are not misled, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first. But the end does not follow immediately." Then he continued by saying to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes, and in various places plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. So make up your minds. not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves, for I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. But you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. Yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must leave, and those who are in the country must not enter the city, because these are the days of vengeance, so that all things which are written will be fulfilled. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in sun and moon and stars and on the earth, dismay among nations. In perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, as soon as they put forth leaves, you see it and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Now during the day he was teaching in the temple, but at evening he would go out and spend the night on the mount that is called Olivet. And all the people would get up early in the morning to come to him in the temple to listen to him. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In today's devotional, I want to focus on a particular subject that Jesus addresses in Matthew 23, and it's the idea that people can look outwardly religious, act outwardly religious, and yet have absolutely no relationship with God himself. Jesus was talking to the crowds in the opening of Matthew 23, and he's talking to them specifically about the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, the scribes were a group of men within the Jewish religion who were very trained in writing the scripture. They would write or copy the Torah, the Old Testament or Hebrew scriptures, the five books of Moses, and then the book of Psalms and other Old Testament works that they had up to that point in history. And they were the copyists. They were the ones who would write on the parchment by hand the words of the Old Testament scriptures. And they essentially were the experts, if you will, in the law and what Moses said and what the other prophets had said. And they were often called upon to discuss and comment upon the more difficult questions of the law. And they often added certain additions to it to explain it. And often that was actually a problem and created more difficulty. But nonetheless, the scribes were considered religious teachers because of their learning and their ability to recount or discuss these difficult questions of the religious law and the Mosaic law. So the people looked up to them as experts in the religion of the Jews. Jesus also addressed what was said here in Matthew 23 to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were another group within the Jewish community who were very legalistic. They were people who were very strict about what the law of Moses said. They were all about outwardly observing religious rituals and rites. They liked to be seen looking very pious and religious. They were very detail-oriented about ceremonial washings and prayers and fasting. And they liked to pride themselves on all their good works and their fastidious obedience to what they considered God's law to be. And they were very fond of looking religious to other people. And this was one of the things that Jesus rebuked them for. In fact, in Matthew 23:5, he says, they do all their deeds to be noticed by men. So he's talking about how the scribes and Pharisees loved to be seen by other people to be looking religious. In fact, one of the things he mentions here is he says they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. Now, to us in Christian society, that doesn't even ring any bells, but allow me to give you a little explanation of that. A phylactery was a small leather box that had strips of parchment inside it with portions of the law written on it. So they would take basically these scripture verses, if you will, put it inside a leather box that was small and had leather straps around it, and then they would tie it to their foreheads, and then they would tie one to the left arm. And the idea of this was they felt that they were fulfilling a specific command found in Deuteronomy 6:8 that talked about God's word and said, you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And so they took it quite literally, and they tied basically scripture verses in a little leather box with leather straps around the left hand and around their forehead, placing it right in the middle of the forehead. And so it says here in Matthew that Jesus rebuked them because he said they love to have all their deeds seen by men. They like to be noticed by men for being religious. And he said one of the things they do to be noticed is they broaden their phylacteries. In other words, they make those boxes bigger so that people will be very aware that they are so religious that they take God's word and they tie it on their forehead and tie it on their arm. They used it as a sign that they are hyper-religious. And the same with the tassels of their garments. They were instructed to take tassels as a reminder of God's law. Again, they were taking an Old Testament scripture, in this case from Numbers chapter 15, verses 39 and 40, where it says about making a fringe in the border of your garment throughout your generations, so that when you look on it, you'll remember all the commandments of the Lord. So the idea was they added this fringe to either their mantle or their cloak or now they have like these prayer shawls where they'll have the tassel on there, and the idea is it's symbolic of the law of the Word of God. And so if you've ever been to Israel, you may see the Jewish men at the Wailing Wall putting a prayer shawl over their head, and they have tassels or fringe on the edge, and that is to represent God's Word and to remind them of God's Word. So Jesus is rebuking them in Matthew 23, verse 5, saying that they do all these things to be noticed by men. And one of the things they do is they make those phylacteries, those leather boxes with the scripture in them, bigger so people will notice. And then they lengthen the tassels of their garments, trying to make it look like we so love God's word, we make our tassels even longer than everyone else. And Jesus is telling them this is all outward show. It's outward show. They like place of honor. They like people calling them rabbi, which means teacher. And he's just saying all these things are just outward show that these people put on. And it doesn't in any way reflect the heart condition of these men. And in fact, in verse 13 of Matthew 23, he goes on to say, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people. You don't enter in yourselves, nor do you allow anyone else to enter in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." He calls them hypocrites. Now let's talk about that word for a moment. The word hypocrite means an actor or a pretender. And at the time of Jesus's time on the earth, the Greeks and the Romans had a practice of using masks, large masks, for their stage actors. And so when a person was called a hypocrite, he was called somebody who was just acting or pretending, and that it wasn't really who they were or what they were. These stage actors used these huge masks, and they actually had a little mechanical device that augmented their voice and made it louder. So this pretender who was the stage actor, the word used was the word hypocrite, and it found use in usual regular conversation when they would call somebody who was just pretending or acting or being something they really were not. They called them a hypocrite, which was this reference to the stage actor. So Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites and the scribes hypocrites. People are just acting. In other words, what they appeared on the outside wasn't what they really were. And he didn't like that their religious acting or their religious deeds that they would do for everyone else to see didn't reflect what was really in their heart and a relationship with a heavenly Father. And then he goes on to say that they lead other people in the same way they're going, and they're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. They're not letting anyone else in, and they won't enter themselves. So Jesus is addressing this huge disconnect between someone who acts religious, acts like they are honoring God, and have absolutely no relationship with the God that they're pretending to be so interested in. You know, in Jewish culture at the time when Jesus was walking on the earth, the religion of the Jews was all important. And so these people, scribes and the Pharisees that he's talking about, used religion as a way to be acknowledged or well known or noticed by people. Over the years, I have observed people in churches do certain religious looking things to be noticed by other people. In that particular action, they're being like these Pharisees. They're doing what they do to be noticed by people. And Jesus completely condemned that kind of behavior. We have to be careful as well that we don't fall into this same trap, that in the setting of church or church activity, that you do certain things to have other people think you're more religious or pious or spiritual than anybody else, or just as spiritual as the other people you're around. And this is the temptation that every human being faces, because when you become part of a Christian community or a church community or fellowship, other people may look more spiritual to you than you are, and you may want to look as spiritual as they are, and therefore you may do certain things that make it look like you're just as spiritual as everyone else, and that's play acting. That's the very thing that the Pharisees would do, and it's being a hypocrite, because God himself knows what's inside of us, and we need to do whatever it is we do for the Lord so that it is for him and not for other people's observation. You may recall when we read Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And so he was addressing this issue of not doing things outwardly just so people will notice. He went on in verse 18 of chapter 6 of Matthew to say, Don't fast so that your fasting will be noticed by men, but by your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So he's addressing these religious activities, whether it's praying or fasting or even giving, which he also addressed that in chapter 6 of Matthew. Give so that your giving's done in secret. And so he's talking about the complete opposite spirit and activity of what the Pharisees were so well known in doing. They would very openly, so everybody could see him, give big gifts into the treasury of the temple. They would make long prayers where everybody would hear them. They would go around looking like they were fasting. He was hitting head on this issue of being religious on the outside and having nothing on the inside. He talked about it here in Matthew 23 when he said to the Pharisees, you guys are like those whitewashed tombs out there. You look pretty on the outside, but inside there's just nothing but uncleanness and dead men's bones. So he's addressing this very idea of doing outward religious action or activity so that people will notice and think highly of you, and not being concerned about what God thinks about you. And so as Christians in the church, in a fellowship, in a Christian community, we have to be very watchful of our own hearts that we don't fall into the same temptation that these Pharisees fell into. They may have started out with a genuine desire to love and honor and please God, but they fell into this habit of making sure everybody saw how religious they were and admiring them and noticing them and thinking they're so spiritual. And they got so far from God in that process that Jesus told him, you guys aren't even going in. You're not even entering into the kingdom of heaven. And not only that, you're keeping other people who are copying your behavior out also. So whether they started out with a heart for God or not, I'm not sure. But if they did, they had fallen so far that they'd become so focused on what other people thought about them and were enjoying garnering the praises of men because of being supposedly very spiritual people. So think about your own situation. When you're in perhaps a church service or a Bible study or a time of worship with other believers, do you raise your hands because other people are doing it, or because you really want to honor God and you're lifting those hands in praise to God? Watch yourself, watch your own heart. Are you kneeling down, folding your hands, bowing your head because other people are seeing you, or because you really want to humble yourself before the Lord personally, and it's between you and God? Anytime there's an element that enters your own thought life about how I'm going to look to somebody else when I do this religious action, that's a time to repent right on the spot. God, forgive me for even considering that. And I just turn to you and completely shut that out and focus on the Lord alone. And don't concern yourself whether anyone sees you or not. This is really important because the enemy of our souls, Satan himself, has been doing the same type of warfare against people who do desire to please and honor God for centuries. He's tried to get them off course. He's tried to sway them into a direction that will take them away from God when they're trying to pursue God. And one of these ways is this idea of acting religious, looking religious to people, and being concerned about whether people notice you and see how spiritual you are on the outside, rather than being concerned about what's on the inside and what your heart condition is before the Lord. So let's watch ourselves in this area, because it's a trap from the devil. That's the bottom line. This is a strategy that the enemy obviously used against these Jewish people back in the day when Jesus was walking on the earth, and he's still using the same tactic against people who desire to know God even today, and tries to get them off into this vein of what are people thinking about me, and I want to be noticed by people. I want the pastor to think I'm spiritual. I want the other people in the church to think I'm super spiritual. We need to repent for that immediately if we've allowed those thoughts to even have any place in our minds, or if we ever do our giving to be seen by other people, our praying to be seen by other people, our Bible reading to be seen by other people, whatever it is, consider that and take the direction that Jesus instructed. Do things in secret before the Lord so that your Heavenly Father, who sees everything that's done in secret, will be the one that rewards you, not other people. Wow, look how spiritual she is, or how spiritual he is. That type of thing takes us into the realm of the Pharisees and the hypocrites. We don't want to be in that camp. Let God illuminate your own heart to you today, and allow him to show you if there's any area where you've been doing that. We don't want to be hypocrites. We don't want to be play acting our spirituality. We want to be honest before the Lord in every area of our lives. God bless you and give you a victorious week. Don't forget, you can email me any comment or question at Rita, R-I-T-A, at myeverydaybible.com. I look forward to hearing from you. God bless you.
If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.